There. We've made the complete circuit. I told Neil as we reached the plank bridge. I'll have to rest now. He helped me out and we climbed over the ruins and sat down with our backs against the kitchen wall. The sun had been shining on it all day and the bricks were still warm. We were in full moonlight. Neil had patches of brilliant green duckweed on his head and one shoulder. He looked wonderful. I felt that what with the moonlight, the music, the scent of the stocks, and having swum round a 600-year-old moat, romance was getting a really splendid leg up, and it seemed an awful waste that we weren't in love with each other. "You're beginning to shiver. So am I," Neil said. "Come on, where do we find towels?" Never has such an innocent question so kicked me in the solar plexus. Towels! We have so few that on wash days we just have to shake ourselves. "Oh, I'll get you one," I said airily, then picked my way across the ruins very slowly, so as to give myself time to think. When we reached the back door, I said, "Come in here, will you? It'll be warm by the kitchen fire. I'll bring a towel down." "But my clothes are in the bathroom," Neil began. I ran off, calling over my shoulder, "I'll bring those too." I had decided to get my own towel, or Rose's, whichever proved to be the drier, and fold it like a clean towel, then go back to Neil with it clutched against me and apologize for having made it a bit damp. There would still be no need to disturb Rose's tête-à-tête with Simon, because both towels were on our bedroom tower staircase. I got the drawing room door to the tower open very quietly and started up. I knew the towels were only a few steps higher, so I stretched up and felt for them. And then, through the door, I heard Simon say, "Rose, will you marry me?" I stood stock still, scarcely daring to move in case they heard me. Of course, I expected Rose to say yes instantly, but she didn't. There was an absolute silence for a good 10 seconds. Then she said, very quietly, but very distinctly, "Kiss me, please, Simon." There was another silence, a long one. Then Rose spoke, with that excited little break in her voice that I know so well. "Yes, please, Simon," she said. Then they were quiet again. I grabbed a towel, I could only find one, and started my way down. Suddenly I stopped. Might it not be more sensible to walk right in on them, just in case? I don't quite know what I meant by just in case. Surely I didn't imagine Simon might change his mind. All I knew was that the sooner the engagement was official, the better. I went back. When I pushed the tower door open, they were still standing in each other's arms. Simon jerked his head round quickly, then smiled at me. I hope I smiled back. I hope I didn't look as flabbergasted as I felt. Just for 1 second, I didn't think it was Simon. His beard was gone. He said, "Is it all right by you if Rose marries me?" Then we were all talking at once. I hugged Rose and shook hands with Simon. "My child, you're like ice," he said as he let my hand go. "Hurry up and change out of that swimsuit." "I must take Neil a towel first," I said, "and his clothes too." I started off to the bathroom for them. "How do you like Simon without his beard?" Rose called after me. I knew I ought to have spoken about it before, but I'd had an embarrassed feeling. "Wonderful!" I shouted. But was it? Of course, he looked years and years younger, and I was astonished to see how handsome he was. But there was something defenseless about his face, as if strength had gone out of it. How on earth did Rose get him to shave, I wondered, as I collected Neil's things. I guessed she had dared him to. When I went into the kitchen, Neil was standing so close to the fire that his bathing shorts were steaming. "Why, I thought you'd forgotten me," he said, turning to smile at me. "Isn't it splendid?" I cried. "Rose and Simon are engaged." His smile went like an electric light switched off. I said, You don't look exactly pleased.